Good morning, everybody. It's great to see all you guys here this morning. Just a little bit of business to get started here this morning. We are getting ready, of course, to start our new year, start 2022. And one of the things that we focus on here on the Hill in starting off is getting into God's Word and reading through the Word. And the joy has been that so many people in our church family have now experienced the joy and the satisfaction of reading God's Word through in its entirety, year after year after year. And if you are new here, and we've had over 100 additions this year so far, so I know there's some new people that are connected with our family, we hope and pray that you will get started with what is one of our traditions, and that's about reading God's Word through. Now, you've got a couple of choices. You've got many choices out there. But ones that we've really liked here are the one-year chronological Bible. It's great to read the Bible through as the events occurred, and that's what these chronological Bibles do. This is the last one that we have available, and you can get it after church. You can just put $10 in an envelope if you want to take this, whoever gets to it first. So if you like this one, you can get that. It'll be down here at the front. And that was good. I've used that myself, and so have a lot of our people. This one is one of my faves. It's the Daily Bible in Chronological Order, 365 readings with devotional insights. And so it's a great take on reading God's Word through in a year as well. I really enjoy that. That'll probably be what I'll use this year as well. So anyway, these books are some that you can get online, and I hope that you'll do that, and you'll start the journey with us beginning next Sunday morning, or next Saturday as it is, when we have the first day of the new year. All right, I want you, if you will, to open God's Word. We're going to be looking this morning at Luke chapter 19. I want to start off there, and then I'm going to jump back to chapter 15 as we look at the message title today is Christmas is a Seek and Save Mission. And we've been focusing all during the month of December on missions. We've been talking about missions, and our goal is a little over $65,000, which is to help support one missionary for a year on the foreign mission field of the Southern Baptist Convention. We are seeking to reach those who have never heard the gospel, and there are literally millions of men and women who are dying every day, never having even heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I want us to think about as our last Sunday together. I want us to think about those men and women who have never heard the gospel. And I want us to think about the Lord's heart for them as well. And he gives it to us here in Luke chapter 19. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho, and he was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Now, that is there for our benefit, that as a tax collector, it was something that you sought for. It was expensive to get, and it was a very desired job by somebody who was basically unscrupulous, because Rome had a certain amount of tax that they wanted you to extract from a region. Once you had done that, anything you got above that you were able to get from the people, that was yours, which created a lot of unscrupulous people who were in the tax business. Zacchaeus was one of those. And that's why the Bible says he was a tax collector and he was rich because he fleeced the people. And he was seeking to see, Zacchaeus was seeking to see who Jesus was. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God was working here. God was working and drawing Zacchaeus to himself. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. He was short and could not see. Nobody would give him room. Why? Because he fleeced them. So nobody's going to move to give him the ability to move forward. So he runs on ahead, and he does something that is totally untoward for a man of his position. And that is, he's obviously dressed in very nice clothes, and he climbs up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus because the Lord was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place where Zacchaeus was, he looked up and he said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." The work of God in calling men and women to be saved. And so Zacchaeus hurried and he came down and he received Jesus joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. They couldn't believe that Jesus had gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. But that's exactly who the Lord is interested in, right? Yes, sir. Right, yes, thank you. There we go. And so they grumbled about that. And Zacchaeus stood and he said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone, if I have stolen from anyone," this is a huge statement, "if I've defrauded them of anything, I will restore it fourfold." Whoa. He is going to pay back everything that he took wrongfully, and he's going to quadruple it, right? And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man," now listen, here it is, "for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." So what I want us to do this morning, I want us to think about lostness, if you will, because this is Christmas. And if we're going to understand the real meaning of Christmas, Christmas, guys, is about lostness. Is it about families getting together? Yes. But one of the things that ought to really be on our minds more than anything else at Christmas is everyone in our family in. Is everybody in our family, are they in God's family? Is everybody in our family going to go home to be with Jesus? Is everybody born again? I had the chance to talk to my sister at one point, she and my brother-in-law, about their relationship with the Lord. It had been something that had been on my heart so much. I just wanted to know that I know that I know that Betty and Harold were both going to be with the Lord in heaven someday. And so I shared my testimony of how God saved me when I was there at Southern State College in the town where they live. And I told him my story. And I asked him, I said, I just need to know for sure that you guys know that you're going to go to heaven when you die. And I was so glad to be able to have that time with them, because within a couple of months after that, my brother-in-law dropped dead in his garage, in his carport, and he went out into eternity, and I did his funeral. And today, my sister is still alive, and she lives at home. The family is able to have somebody to be with her 24/7. And my sister really doesn't know who I am. She has advanced dementia, and she no longer is capable of making a decision. And you never know how important it might be to you that somebody in your family, that you know that you know that you know they're ready. Because you never know how life might change all of a sudden, and you don't have the opportunity anymore. And so I want you today, I want you to think about lostness. I was watching the news, of course, during the holiday season, and one of the things they talked about that the holiday air travel in 2021 was going to be brutal. And of course, it has been, flights canceled and all this, that, and the other. I made a lot of air trips over ministry, Brazil, Russia, Korea, Thailand, Africa. I've had the privilege to do that, go places and preach the word. And I've always been very fortunate about my luggage. At times, maybe you've had a piece get lost or whatever, but it's always been returned. But there are those horror stories. I read some research on lost luggage on airlines, you know, and I've got the gift of encouragement. So for those of you who plan an air trip, you're gonna really be glad you're here. Every year, this is a known fact, every year the airlines lose over 300,000 bags of luggage. 300,000. I'm not talking about it was lost and it was covered recovered and brought to their house, you know, like 3 days later. I'm talking about 300,000 pieces of never to be found or heard of again luggage is the standing record right now. And it's kind of like, it reminds me of the guy who walked into the, up to the airline counter, and he told the attendant, he said, I'd like a ticket to England. And then he said, I want this bag to go to Madrid, Spain, and I want this one to go to San Francisco. And the flight attendant or the attendant behind the desk looked incredulous at him. She said, sir, that's impossible. We cannot do that. He said, I don't know why. That's what you did on my last trip to England. So he might, you know, be able to do it again. And so somebody who had obviously been through some trying experiences shared with me, they said, basically, there are two types of luggage when you travel by air, carry on and lost. And so for those of you who are planning an air trip, you know, having the spirit of encouragement, I want to just kind of give you that. Well, as 2021 kind of draws to a close, I want us to think about lostness for just a minute. And I want us to think about it in terms of a personal thing. That's why I talked about my sister, you know, my brother-in-law. You know, you think about maybe people that you were raised up with, kids that you went with to a school that you had relationships with, and you wonder, where are they, you know, with regards to Christ? And maybe you think about, you've been thinking about what you've lost this year. And people have lost a lot, haven't they? I think we've all experienced that. Maybe you lost something, you're in the process. Maybe you lost a friend, you lost a loved one to COVID. We've lost several members here on the Hill this past year with COVID. Maybe you feel like you say, you know, I lost my job, you know, in this last year, or, you know, I've lost my joy. And maybe you can't put your hand on that. You're not really sure how that happened, but you just know that it's happened. Or maybe for whatever reason, you've lost confidence, you've lost your health, you're in the process of losing it. Maybe you feel like this morning, I've lost my way. I don't know how to get this sense that life has meaning again. You've lost this dream. And so for 2022 in January, I want to encourage you, we're going to be getting into God's Word, and it's going to be a series that's going to drive home the reality that we live in a broken world. And I need to be reminded of that. And what that means is that because I'm in a broken world, I need to feed my mind, and you need to feed your mind on truth every day. And we have got to get into the book and free our minds from some of the stinking thinking that's going on inside of us that is not biblical. And so we're going to be looking at the truth of Scripture about some things that just need to be tackled with regards to our mind. We're not going to believe what we think. We're going to believe what is really truth. But what I want to really focus on, and why I've shared those things about lostness, is I want us to think about being lost. We focused on missions for all the month of December. And I know you've heard in your lifetime maybe a lot of messages about people who are lost from God. But I just want us to look at some scripture this morning just for a few minutes. And I want to think about maybe loved ones or friends, maybe somebody that you're with at the gym. Maybe you see some people, and maybe the Holy Spirit's already been working in your mind, and you see somebody and you wonder, I wonder where they are. I mean, like, do you think like that? As a child of God, when you see certain people, does it just go in your mind, I wonder where they are? Are they ready to die? Because none of us know when we're going to die. And you just wonder, you know, maybe somebody you work out with at the gym, or you know, somebody at work or whatever it is, and you're just thinking, I wonder where they are. Well, biblically, our text is many years after that first Christmas here in Luke chapter 19. And the Lord is an adult, and as a man, he's coming into town. He's not in the manger, and he explains why he came to earth in this passage. Jesus is very clear about that. And the verse here at the end of the scripture says, Jesus said, after he's had this time with Zacchaeus, he makes this statement. He said, I have come to seek and to save those who are lost. And what God wants us to understand is, guys, that's Christmas. That's what Christmas is about. Jesus didn't come just to be a baby. Jesus came, was born as a baby so that he could grow up, so that he could live a sinless life and be a worthy sacrifice for the Father, and he could die on the cross. And when he was on the cross, the Bible says, for those 6 hours, Jesus Christ suffered what all other men who died on the cross suffer. He went through everything that they go through. But there was more, because Isaiah chapter 53, which is a picture of Christ suffering on the cross, the entire chapter is about him coming as a sacrifice for our sin. And in Isaiah 53, verse 6, Isaiah prophesies and says, all of us like sheep have gone astray from God. All of us have gone astray from the womb. Now listen, and we have turned every one of us to our own way. That's our indictment. We are away from God. We are born lost. We are born lost. There has to be a point in time for every man and woman when you cease to be lost and you become saved. There is some point in time. And there is a definite moment when that takes place. And he says, and the Father has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. Jesus suffered everything every other guy suffered on the cross. He was crucified, his hands, his wrists nailed, his feet nailed to the cross, his whole body weight on all of that. It was excruciating for those 9 hours on the cross. And the Bible says he not only went through that, but the Father laid on him. God the Father was doing something. Christ willingly said, pour on me all of the wrath, Father, for the sin of the world. The wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is eternal separation from God. God is holy. That's what the scripture teaches us. This incredible God who made us all is holy. And we are all lost from him until we come to faith in Christ. And Christ said, put all of the wrath of God on me. And all the wrath of God for everything every man and woman, boy and girl had done, was doing, and would ever do was poured out on Christ. And he not only had the suffering of the nails in his hands and his feet, but the wrath of God, the fire of God's wrath and anger was pouring on him. And Jesus took it all. And Jesus said, Father, take my life. And Jesus willingly gave it. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. And Jesus said, I will give up my life. I release my soul into your care. And Christ died on the cross. And he died to pay for our sins. And he died so that he could rise again. Why? Because none of the sin was his. He just became my sin. And he became your sin. And the Father looked at him and was pleased that a man without sin would die for those who had never sinned. And the Father said, my justice on you is so powerful that whoever will trust you, whoever will honor you, whoever will bow their knee to you, whoever will cry out, save me, I will save them. I will forgive their sins and I'll heal their soul. And I will come and live in them, and I will make them my son and my daughter. Guys, that's what Jesus wants to do for the lost men and women in Lufkin. And you and I get caught up in pity and stuff. We get caught up in thinking about our jobs. We get caught up thinking about being angry at this person or that person, not liking this one or not liking that. We let life get us all caught up, and we're forgetting about the most important thing. And that is the men and women who are lost. This is what Christ has left us here to do. And today is about getting back to that for 2022. That we get back to that as a church. I don't care if anybody else in town does it. Well, actually, I do. But my point is, I don't care what anybody else is doing. What are we going to do? What's going to be true of the hill? Why are we in life group? We're in life group to build relationships. We're in life group because I need other people around me, and so do you, who keep me from straying. Why? Because all we like sheep have what? Gone astray. And let me tell you something. If you're not in a life group, if you're not in a group with other believers who want to chase after God, you will wander away. That's why we do life group. That's why we meet once every week. We come together to build each other up. If you're in the hospital, your life group's going to visit you, and they're going to let us know about it. If you have a loss in the family, your life group's going to minister to you, and they're going to tell us about it. That's how it works here on the hill. You've got to be in a life group. And if you're not in a life group, you're going to wander away from God. And you're going to get into stuff you ought not get into, because you're going to lose that fire down in your soul. You're going to forget why Christ came to die on the cross. Jesus came to die for our sins. He came to be resurrected, and he came to save those who are lost from God and are bound for hell. And if we don't understand that, when we decorate our homes at Christmas, we're just like all other lost people who have no clue what Christmas is all about. Christmas is about lostness. And we have a celebration spirit at Christmas, and there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's biblical. And that's what I want you and I to understand. God has such a heart for lost people that Christmas is about celebration. But it isn't just about celebrating the gifts that are under the tree. It is about celebrating that we have the blessed gift of being born again, and heaven is our home. That's why we celebrate at Christmas. That's how we decorate our homes. That's why we do everything that we do. It is to keep Christmas focused on what Christ came to do us for us on the cross. So let me talk to you just in closing this morning. What does it mean to be lost? I mean, what does that mean? All right. So I want you to turn back in God's word and go back to Luke chapter 15 in your scriptures. And I want you to look, number one, if you got your life point outline, I want you to look at the stories of lostness, because there are three stories of lostness that God gives us to help us understand how he sees lostness. All right. And so the first one is the story of the lost sheep. I'm not going to read these, but you can go back and you can look at them. For time's sake, I'm not going to do that, because I've got so much that I want to share with you. But in the story of the lost sheep, the story is that the Lord told that there's a shepherd who has 100 sheep. And the whole point is one of them, one, wanders away, walks away from the fold, and gets lost from the shepherd. And the whole point is he's lost from the shepherd. He's not under the shepherd's care. And the shepherd owns the sheep. God wants you and I to understand that. You and I ultimately belong to our Creator. He made you for a reason. And you have said it again and again. You and I are way more than a biological event of the lovemaking of mom and dad. We are a plan. God is Lord of the womb, right? And so every one of us are a plan. God has a purpose. We are his. And that's the point here. The shepherd owns the sheep. The sheep is his. But the sheep wandered away from the owner. The sheep wandered away and is lost. That's God's point. He said, I want you to understand lostness. And lostness is, I made you, you are mine, and you are lost from me. You are away from me. And when the shepherd brings the sheep in for the night, he counts them, and he only counts 99, but he has 100. So he knows one is gone. And that's just God says, I want you to understand, I am aware of everyone who is away from me. You are on my mind. And if you are not born again, I want you to know God is thinking about you right now. You're on his mind. He very much knows who you are, and he knows you're lost from him. And so what does he do? The shepherd leaves the 99 saved and goes looking for the lost sheep. That's why we're involved in missions, because that's the heart of the Father. That's what God will bless. God will bless the church that is a missions church. that is missionary minded. God will bless that. Why? Because God is a missionary God. God is seeking those who are lost. And when he goes off and he finds the sheep, and he is so happy that he throws a party so that all of his friends can come and celebrate with him. Why? Because he found the one lost sheep. And he just party, right? So we're going to have a good time. All right, then the second story is the story of the lost coin. There's a woman, she's poor. She has 10 valuable coins. They're valuable to her. And one of them gets lost. And what I want you to notice is she doesn't focus on what she has. She focuses on what she doesn't. She focuses on what she has lost. God loves you and me. God calls us to worship Him once every 7 days. That's why we gather. We are doing what God wants us to do this morning. Once every 7 days, worship me. Come and gather and worship me. Come together as my family before me and worship me, the creator, the supplier of everything that you have. But what God also is focused on is for those who are not here, those whom God would draw here. That is the heart of God day after day. Look at the truth in your outline. Every day of your life, God is searching for lost men and women. Every time you go to the gym, every time you go to school, every time you go wherever you go, you can know God is on a search for lost men and women. He is looking for them. And the point is, when she finds the lost coin, she sweeps through all the house. She doesn't just relax. The Bible says she calls her friends together and throws a party over finding the lost coin. Now, she had 9, and she just goes crazy looking for one. What is God saying? God is saying she looked so hard for that one coin. Why? Because that one coin was valuable to her. That's God's point. You may be only one, but God says, you're important to me. There is nobody here under the sound of my voice. And maybe you were told by a mom or a dad or a coach or a teacher or whatever that you'll never amount to anything. I get it. I had that told me. Some of you have had that told to you. Somebody who didn't know anything about anything told you, you'll never amount to anything. I want to tell you something, that's a lie. That is a lie, because God doesn't create junk. Amen? God didn't create junk. And God's the Lord of the womb. Every baby, whether 100% healthy, or whether they are deformed, or whether they have a birth defect, they have value. Huh? They have value. Every child does. Everyone. And this coin was valuable to her. And I want you to hear me. To God, you are valuable. He loves you. You might not have got love like you wanted at home, but there is a God in heaven who will move heaven and earth for you, because He's got a plan for you. And He cares about you every day. And then you've got the last story, number 3, and that's the story of the lost son, also known as the prodigal son. And Jesus tells a story, and He says there's this one man, and he has 2 boys, and he loves them both. Everything he has is theirs. And that's the story of God. God said, I love you. And He said, I want to share my kingdom with you. And I want you to have the assurance that when you die, you're going to come home, and you're going to be with me, and you're going to live in my city. You're going to live in my house, and I'm going to have a room for you, because I'm going to be a father to you. I'm going to take care of you for eternity, forever and ever. And I'm preparing a place for you. And this guy loved both of his sons. Everything he had belonged to these 2 boys ultimately. Now, the Bible says that these 2 boys were both lost. The older boy was religious and lost. The young boy was rebellious and lost. But both his sons were lost. And the young one, being rebellious and strong-willed, one day he says, and this, of course, I'm reading into this, but I think this is everything that he said. That he basically said, to his dad, I don't want to live here anymore. I don't want to be under you. I don't want to be under your rule. I don't want to live the way that you want me to live. I want you to give me my half of the family inheritance now. Basically, what he says is, I know you're not dead yet, but give me my inheritance and let me go. Now, I'll tell you what he said. Basically, he said, I really don't care if it puts a financial strain on the home. I don't care if it puts financial difficulty on you or on my brother or on anybody else. I want what's mine so I can live and leave and do what I want to do. That is the attitude of sin. I'm going to do what I am going to do, and I don't care who doesn't like it. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. That's the essence of sin. And the dad complies, and he gives half of his wealth to the rebellious son. And the boy goes to a party town, and he spends his wealth on wine, women, and song, and probably an emphasis on women, right? And so he parties until he's absolutely broke, the Bible says. He has nothing left. And everybody leaves him, and he's homeless. And such is the way so often for those who run from God, that the favor of God, the blessing of God, comes off their life. Not always, but many times, especially when God is seeking to draw them to himself. And God removes his hand of blessing, and they begin to experience difficulty. And what's God doing? He's seeking to get their attention. Does that make sense? And some of you, maybe this morning, God's seeking to get your attention. He just wants you to say, oh, okay, God, it's you. Now I understand. And so this boy is starving to death. He hires himself out in this disgusting business of hog farming. And look at verse 17 in your text. But when he came to himself. All right, I want you to look at it. Here's the insight. One of the greatest gifts of God to you and me when we're lost is clarity. God at times mercifully gives us clarity. And it says he came to himself. He got clarity. He's at the bottom of his life. And he finally thinks straight. And I want you to see what repentance looks like. This is biblical repentance. Listen to what I said. In his mind, he's like, this is crazy. Here I am in a hog pen. It is crazy for me to live like this. Look where I am. I don't deserve to go home. I don't deserve to be my father's son. I've disobeyed him. I've dishonored him. I was arrogant and full of myself. You see what? He's seeing the reality. I was stupid. I blew my dad's money, everything he had worked hard for and saved. I don't deserve it. But my dad's servants live better than me in this pig pen. I think inside that boy's mind, he was saying, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home and I'm going to own it. And I'm going to humble myself to dad. And I'll ask only for a job if he'll have me. My inheritance is gone, but I just want a job, just a place to earn a living for the rest of my life. And the word says that on his way home, his dad, who is always looking, sees his son coming, and he runs to his son, throws his arms around him, and loves in him, and smothers him in kisses. And he tells his servants, he said, take him and give him a bath and clothe him and put the best clothes on him. And I want you to put the family ring on his hand. And that ring was like his dad's credit card. I mean, you just stick that into hot wax, and that meant they could charge his dad. His dad turned around and gave him a credit card of all things. And then he tells his servant, you go find the biggest calf in the pen and let's have a barbecue because we're going to hold a party. We're going to celebrate. Because I didn't know but what he was dead. And he's come home. And I want you to hear me. There's a Father in heaven who made you in your mother's womb. And ever since you took your first breath, God has been calling you home. And if I know God, I know there have been times when you felt the work of the Holy Spirit in you. And maybe you know you walked an aisle sometime somewhere. Maybe you've already been in the baptismal waters. But you know You're not ready to die. You're not ready. There's no assurance in you that God is going to say, well done. It's not about being perfect. None of us would score that. But do you know that you could look at the Father and say, I know that I asked Jesus to save me. As much as I understand, I have given my life, Father, to Christ. Do you know in your heart that the Father God would say, I remember the day, I remember the hour that you bowed yourself and your soul and your will and you said, God, I'm a sinner and I know Christ died for me? Or would the Father say to you, you never asked me to save you? See, that was me. I walked the aisle. I remember it like it was yesterday. I got down at the front and somehow or another I got in the baptismal waters. But nobody ever counseled me to cry out to God and admit to God I was a sinner. And maybe that happened to you. Somebody missed it in the church where you were. And you got your name on the roll, but you're not going up because you don't know him. You don't know him. You don't know him. Jesus doesn't know you. And the insight in your outline, the common denominator in all three stories of lostness is the party when the one who was lost is found. That's a common denominator. I'm going to do something I don't normally do. I'm going to stop. Because I believe that the Lord's here. I believe that the work of the Holy Spirit is here. And there's some of you that know that God has sovereignly brought you here this morning. And that you're here because the Lord is saying, I've been chasing after you. I've been looking down the road wondering when you were going to come and you were going to come to me. And I would like for us, just for a moment, would you just bow your heads wherever you are? No one looking around. This is just between you and me and the Father. But that this morning, the story of lostness has gripped you. Because you know that you know in your heart there's never been a time where you could say, I know I've trusted Christ. I've admitted I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus didn't just die for the world. Jesus died for me. Christmas is about the lost being found. It's about Jesus coming to die on the cross. It's about God wanting to have a party. Because you have come home. You're the prodigal. You were born lost from God. You were born away from the family. And there has to be a time when you come home. And there is a change. It's not about being perfect. It's about being different. It's about being different. So I want to ask you this morning, with God looking and you knowing your heart, this morning, if you know that you would say, Brother John, I don't have peace in my heart, that I'm ready to leave this world. It's not that I fear death, it's that I fear what comes with it. I don't have the assurance that I'm going to go to heaven. And I want Christ in my life. Would you quietly, reverently just raise your hand wherever you are and say, Brother John, that's me. And I want you to pray for me. I see your hand. Thank you. Yes. I see your hand. Just lift it wherever you are. Yes. Thank you. Brother John, I don't have peace, but I want that. Yes. Yes. All right. God wants you. to be like the prodigal. That right now in your heart, you would call out to him and you would just confess your lostness to him. Just tell him. Tell him that you know that you're lost from him. Tell him you know that Jesus died for you. Tell him you want to be saved. Tell him you want him to come into your life. Tell him you want his forgiveness. And that you want your life to count. See, it's about you coming to him. It's about you owning it. Own it. Own it this morning. That's what the Father looks for. That you will own your condition just like the prodigal did. I'm lost. And Father, I want to be part of your forever family. Invite him into your life right now. This morning, for the rest of you, and I put myself in this, I want to ask you, is there not someone or several someones in your frame of reference, whether work, activities, gymnasium, wherever, that you've wondered about them? You've wondered about where they are in their walk with Christ. Do they know the Lord? Are they born again? And that's been on you. And you know God has put them on your heart. And you want to see them. You want to know, are they lost or are they saved? There's people you have a heart for. If that's you, I want to ask you to do something boldly. I want to ask you wherever you are. And I'm not going to embarrass you or anything. I just want to know, and I want you to testify. I want you just to stand wherever you are. Just say, Brother John, there's somebody I'm thinking about right now. There's somebody, I believe, I just wonder where they are. I just wonder if they're all right with God. I just wonder what's going to happen to them when they die. I just wonder. And I want to be bold. And I want to walk in the Spirit. And I want God to work through me. And I want to be a tool to speak to them. God, open the doors of opportunity. And give me a holy boldness. Lord, help me. I want to be used by you this year. All right, while you're standing, I want to just pray for you and me as well. Father, we're so grateful for Christmas. Thank you for the message of Christmas, that it's about the lost being found. It's about Jesus coming to seek the lost. It's about a party. It's about what we rejoice in, and we rejoice in the lost being found. There's always a party. There's always a celebration. And there are men and women, Father, we want to celebrate with. We want to know that they're all right with you. And if they're not, we want your boldness and your grace and your blessing for us to speak to them about things eternal and to help them find Jesus the way that we did. Father, we understand what you said in the Word. You are seeking those that are lost. You want them to be found. And that's what's on your heart. And so help us, Father, to be those men and women who will search for those that are lost and are far from God. Plant us where you want us to be this year. We want to be available to you. We want to see people born again. We want to see them be baptized and make a public confession of their faith in Jesus Christ to live for him. And so, Father, may we be the church, this church, the church on the hill. May we be anointed with a fresh anointing to reach men and women for Christ. Father, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our wandering. Where we've lost our way in all of this pandemic, and we've gotten our minds on the wrong things. Forgive us, we ask. Forgive us. And renew us and strengthen us, God. So many people are dying. And you've placed us here to help people be ready to die, because we don't know when. And so thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for Christmas. And thank you for your love for us when we are lost and far from you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.